So, this is effectively my first opportunity to speak to this congregation in the new year. And it's very timely that this is the scripture that we have before us this morning, because it relates to something that we were talking about last year, seeking God's face, looking to God to guide and to shape what He wants to do in us and through us. And the key point I want to bring to you this morning is the nature and reliance of Jesus on the Holy Spirit, but also the importance for us to rely on the Holy Spirit. We can't expect someone who's not a Christian to live like a Christian, because we can't expect a car to be driven without petrol, can we? We can't expect a Christian to live as Jesus asks us to unless God Himself, by the Holy Spirit, is helping them to do it. Okay? So let's explore that. I just want to start with a very simple point. All the way through the Bible, it's completely consistent that the Spirit always goes ahead of the Word. Okay? Now, I want you to do a little experiment. If you've got breathing problems or anything, please don't do this, but the rest of you are going to join in. In fact, you might want to stand up. Okay? It's safer to do this standing. Right. Okay, now, I want you, that you need to follow my lead, and if you have hyperventilation issues, don't do this. I want you to get rid of as much air out of your lungs in a second. I'll show you how to do that. And then once you've done that, I want you to say hello to your neighbor without taking your breath. Now watch this. I'll show you how to do it. You go, it's called percussive breathing. You go. Right. I just want you to try it. Ready? So get rid of as much air as you can out of your lungs. Turn to your neighbor. And then without taking a breath, say something to them. On you go. Get out. Get everything out you can. Don't collapse on me. Okay, you can sit down now. It was strangely quiet. So literally, we cannot speak out without breath. Now, in the Bible, it's interesting because in the Old Testament, mainly written in Hebrew, the word for the Spirit is the same word used for breath or wind. It's ruach. And as a Scot, I love that word. Get my ruach. And in the New Testament, it's pneuma. That's where we get pneumatic drill from and all the rest of it. It's the same word, wind, spirit. It's always the same word. I just want to show you a really interesting thing in the Bible about how the Spirit always precedes the word and how we should know that and expect that and found everything we do on that principle. First one, the very birth of the world. The very birth of the world, however you want to interpret it, this is what the Bible says right at the beginning in the first couple of verses. Just so you know, this is right from the beginning. In the beginning, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and He said something about making things happen. No, He didn't. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Right? Next verse. And God said, the Spirit precedes the Word. Okay? You got that? Birth of Jesus. So we've jumped a bit. Jesus described as the Word of God incarnate. Yeah? How was Jesus conceived? Well, actually, we don't really understand how Jesus was conceived, really. Not in strict biological terms. But assuming the Bible's account is correct, which I do, the Bible tells us that it was the Spirit of God who came upon Mary. And it was through the work of the Spirit that Jesus was implanted in her womb, in His humanity. He left eternity as a second person of God. We find that out afterwards. And He came into the world through Mary. But it was the Spirit of God that preceded the coming of the Word. Yeah? Spirit Word. Ready? Next one. The reading we've just had. Jesus begins His public ministry having had, if you look at Luke's Gospel, we've had a number of events running up to this. The first one was, after His birth and everything, was He's baptized by His cousin John in the River Jordan, and John testifies and says, look, the one coming after me, he's going to baptize in the Holy Spirit. But as Jesus was baptized, a wonderful thing happened. There was a manifestation that said, that John looked at, like a dove coming down. The Spirit of God came down upon Jesus at the point of His baptism. Okay? And this is so, so important for us to understand, because Jesus doesn't live His life on earth in the power of the second person of the Trinity, to use fancy words. He lives it as a perfectly free human being in a perfect relationship with his Father in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that makes all the difference in the world to what he then asks us to do, because we are encouraged to live it out in the same way. Okay? I'll get to that a wee bit more. So listen to this. We just had it in our reading. It's in front of you. He returned to Galilee in the power, the dunamis, same word that we get dynamite from, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? How people think being a Christian is boring is a mystery to me. If you're really walking with the Lord, I guarantee the one thing you will not get ultimately is boredom, if you're serious about following him. Because he'll put a rocket under you. He'll dynamite you into things that you might not expect. So Jesus comes back in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he goes on into his ministry, okay? In the power of the Spirit precedes the Word. Yeah? I love that picture of Jesus. It's one of my faves. I mean, that isn't really Jesus, but I like the actor who plays Jesus in that one. Because I think God's got a great sense of humor. Now, given what I just said to you, does it surprise you, therefore, that when the church is born, what happens first? Those of you who know your Bible. Acts chapter 2. Jesus doesn't say, right, everyone, I've risen from the dead. Off you go. Go and tell everybody. What does he say? He says, wait. Wait, wait, wait. And that's a big word for us. We're not going to go rushing off into anything as a church community. We are seeking God's face. We are praying. We are asking the Lord to guide us, to shepherd us, to show us his way, to be a Minster parish. We have a framework we believe God's given us. We have a history, but we're looking for the living word of God, the Holy Spirit, to inspire us to be his people and to do the works of God in this area, yeah? And that starts with us encountering God, us waiting on God, us relying on the Holy Spirit, just like the early church did. Now, those of you who know the story, the church are waiting in Jerusalem. They're very frightened because Jesus is being killed and so on and so on and so on. Then he's risen, then they're very excited, but he tells them to wait, and they wait, and they pray. What are they doing? They're praying. And then there's this incredible encounter with the Holy Spirit. Go into that one day in the future. And then what happens next? What happens after the falling of the Holy Spirit? What's the first thing that happens after that? Sorry? Yeah, speaking in tongues. So they're speaking, proclaiming in the prayer language. Yeah, yeah. And then they go out. And what does Peter do? He preaches the word. There's a surprise. And my goodness, what a word. I could do with that kind of holy anointing. That'd be great, wouldn't it? And so many people are cut to the heart by the words that God gives Peter to share. And it's really the work of the Spirit touching their hearts that they respond to God at that point and they turn back to him, and thousands become Christians on that day, and that's the beginning of the church, officially. Okay? Spirit, word, spirit, word, spirit, word. You got it? So how can we try and live word, spirit? How can we just try and live word? It's like trying to hop your way through the Christian life. It's a both and in the Christian life. Spirit, word, spirit, word. And Paul says, keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Do you remember that time with Jeanette? Poor Jeanette. I grabbed Jeanette and I walked up and down. Give her the fight of her life. I walked up and down to show you that the paraclete, the one who walks alongside you, the comforter of John 14, 15, 16, that Jesus speaks about, is the Holy Spirit. And you walk with the Holy Spirit. And then not only do you walk with the Holy Spirit, you can be filled from outside by the Holy Spirit. You can feel like heat, like warmth. You can be bubbling up inside with the Holy Spirit like water. God's just struggling to get across to you in language the nature and power and glory of the Holy Spirit in the Christian's life. You will be led by the Holy Spirit into times of desperately difficult wilderness periods if you're serious about following God. Because he wants to unpack you and set you free from the scripts of your childhood, if you're an adult, and put you in a place of freedom. And as a free human being, he wants you to walk in step with him, in his strength and power, not your own. We cannot do this. We can't be a church here and actually do what God wants us to do without the Holy Spirit's help. We just can't do it. And one of the saddest things for me is when people try and live the Christian life in their own strength. It's just so hard. You can't do it. Nor can you do the works of God in your own strength. People try all the time, and it's just hard work, and it's tiring, and it's actually ultimately not terribly fruitful. Okay? So the Holy Spirit begins the Holy Spirit. And you get this absolutely consistently through the Bible. So in Ephesians, Paul's writing to the church in Ephesus. He says, be filled with the Spirit. Now that, I don't normally shout about Greek, but this is interesting because be filled is this present imperative. And what that means is, it's be filled and keep on being filled. Why? You know this. This is a very old trite joke. Because you're holy, you leak, therefore you need to be filled again, yeah? So if you're serving God, you're going to need the energizing grace of God as an individual, and the church needs the energizing grace of God to be a living body, yeah? Have you noticed that when someone, well, I don't know if you've ever been with someone when they die. I have. It's been a privilege. But what usually happens at some point is there's a last breath. Sometimes it's a noisy one, and sometimes it's just a, and then they're gone. Now, some people believe that when that happens, that's when the spirit leaves the body. And it makes some sense, because when you think about it, our breath leaving our body, the final breath, in a sense, it makes some sense. That might be when the spirit leaves. I'm not sure about that, but it makes some sense to me. And similarly, when a baby's born, first thing they do is they go, don't they? There's this incredible, I don't know if you know about this, this incredible thing happens in a baby at the point of just after they're born. There's a switch from the oxygen being passed through the placenta and umbilical cord into the body. This is your oxygen tube and your nutrient tube. When that finishes at the point of birth, and then the baby has to get oxygen by breathing, yeah? And so on and so on. So breath and life and all the rest of it. So in other words, if we are the body of Christ, like John read this morning, the body is dead without spirit. So the body of Christ without the Holy Spirit is dead. And a Christian trying to live as a Christian without the Holy Spirit is going to be exhausted, will get very religious on you. What happens is if you try and live as a Christian without the Spirit of God, you get all religious. It's terrible. You start being rule-bound. You start living by the shoulds and the oughts. I should be doing this. I ought to be doing this. And so should you. And why are you not? And we get all religious on each other. Do you know one of my main jobs is to stop the church being religious? I want the church to be relational. That's what God wants. He wants us to be relational with Him first and then with each other. He needs the Holy Spirit in us. Yeah? Right. So we need to be filled and keep on being filled. And just in case you don't believe me, Paul writing to the Corinthians, tells us, Jesus Himself says, that if you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Right? So who's stopping God give you the Holy Spirit? Is it God? Let's say that again. Who's stopping you receiving the Holy Spirit? Is there anyone else stopping you receiving the Holy Spirit? Is there anyone? Okay, I'm glad you said that, because it is a gift. It's an ongoing gift. And also the Holy Spirit gives supernatural gifts. And we heard John read them out. Things like miraculous healings. I think we could do with some more miraculous healings myself. I would love to see people who are in pain healed. And we have seen a trickle of that in the last number of years in this church. Wouldn't that be great? Is that a wonderful thing when God brings a healing to someone? How about people suffering from real deep down soul depression? And God, through counseling and also through His work and through other things, sets them free and brings them back into a place of health and well-being. How about people who are coming to church and the Holy Spirit gives someone a sense of how to pray for them and they discover that God knows them personally, right? The gifts are mainly about relationship, actually, to show that God loves you and knows you better than you know yourself. And it's not about glory, it's about His glory. It's about actually just simply just doing one thing, that you know His love and He loves you and that you then love Him back. That's the purpose of it all. Okay, so you have a choice to receive or not to receive a gift. You can reject it or you can take it and unwrap it. Because in Romans 8, Paul says this, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. And the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God." I have come to a conviction over the last number of years that this move is the key move in the Christian's life. The key problem for most Christians or people who are walking towards being Christians is simply they just don't know God's love for them as Father. And if you've had a bad experience of a father, it's even more difficult to walk into the experience of knowing God as Father. But it's the Spirit of God that helps us discover what that means. And so a great prayer is just asking the Spirit of God to teach you, to help you know God as Father. Okay? And the funny thing is that as you receive that into your life and grace begins to fall into your heart, you can then share grace with other people. You know, the really irritating people, like the preacher who wanders about and shouts, and when things go wrong or whatever it is, you begin to discover grace, that you've got the capacity to forgive because you know God's forgiving you. that you've got the capacity to serve because you're experiencing the blessing of God. That's why we start our framework, and we are blessed because we're the children of God. Not everyone's a child of God. It's only as you're adopted into his family through trusting in Jesus that you're a child of God. So just to finish, two prayers. This is an ancient prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send your Spirit and we shall be made new and you shall renew the face of the earth. That's a beautiful prayer. That's an old prayer. And it's the trajectory is the Holy Spirit filling the hearts of the faithful, setting us on fire with his love, his presence, his power. And then from that movement of receiving, then we give. It's always that way around. How can you give what you haven't got? How can you love if you haven't received love? How can you be kind if you haven't experienced kindness? How can you offer grace if you've not experienced grace? How can you offer power if you've not received power? How can you offer strength if you've not received strength? Do you get the point? And that prayer catches that. And that's the point, you see. There's thousands of people that don't know how much God loves them in this area. I pray for every church in this area. I pray for the Baptist Church, Vineyard, and the Catholic Church. I just don't care. I just pray for the Holy Spirit to work through the churches in this area, that many, many people would discover how much they're loved by God. Okay? The Four Square Calvary Church in Bunbury gets my prayer four times a week because I drive past it. So there's that prayer. And then there's this prayer that I just made this up today, when I was preparing some, whatever it was. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to know your Father's love, because I think it's so important. The Bible will say that. Release your gifts in us so that we can bring your glory and be all you want us to be as your church. In Jesus' name I ask. Right, here's the thing. If you want to pray those prayers with me, I want you to pray them with me. If you don't, don't. If you're not ready to pray the prayers, don't pray them. But if you're serious and you do, then let's look for the Holy Spirit to inspire us, like we prayed at the beginning, that we become the church in 2016 that God wanted in 2016 here in Australand in this parish. Okay? And you'll see me do this now every service I'm going to lead for the next while. When we get to that first prayer in the liturgy, I'm going to stop and I'm going to just pause and wait for the Holy Spirit to begin that process in us. Because we all come to the services. Some of us are happy, some of us are sad, some of us are stressed out, some of us are joyful, some of us are half sober, depending on what we drank last night, and so on and so on and so on. Whatever. We all arrive in different places, but what we're asking in that prayer is for the Holy Spirit just to gather and work through us. Okay. I'll just give you a moment and then we'll pray together. Together we pray, if you want to. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send your Spirit and we shall be made new and you shall renew the face of the earth. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to know your Father's love. Release your gifts in us so that we can bring your glory and be all you want us to be as your church. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.